zen. But it's that feeling of being settled down. When you have that feeling of being settled down, then it's as though, has this settled, as the sort of the mind settles down, it releases the breath to the word. Right? So you get both. You get a settling down, and then you get a feeling of lightness in your mind, in your body, in your attitude towards life. But if you are high up in the body, it doesn't give you height, it doesn't give you elevation. It's in dancing, isn't that so that you have to sort of meet the floor in order to have elevation?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm talking about in terms of breath and the word. That when the breath sort of moves down into the body, it gives you that elevation. You elevate the word, and it does it by itself. So it should become para. Try it. Give me that sense of yourself.
Para.
Yes, and don't reach. You're reaching for it just the tiniest bit. You notice para? Yeah. Don't reach for it. When you were breathing, you didn't reach for it, did you? You went. The breath came in, and then it went. Shun. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
Did you feel that settled quality? Good. So what you're doing now is reaching a little bit for that word. You're trying to make it lift. Don't. Just get the feeling of breath floating through the body and rising up to meet the word.
Para.
Something like that. Okay? Do you feel what I know that you know what I'm telling you, but do you feel that you're sort of trying the tiniest little bit with that word?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and for some reason you started trying it on the para, whereas on the other words you were getting nicely. Oh, well, let's not get paranoid about that word. Let's go on to another. Dalliance.
Dalliance.
So let's find out where the emphasis on the word is dalliance. Let's say dalliance. So it's dalliance.
Mm-hmm. Dalliance.
Yeah, do you feel that there's two... What you've done with that in da is spread it too wide. Why don't you let the emphasis go there, but don't hang on to it. You're going dalliance. Okay? And I want it to be like a dance. Dalliance.
Dalliance.
Good, and do this with your hands if you wish.
Dalliance.
Something like that. But did you feel that your fingers were a little stiff as they went to the palm? And mine are like this dalliance.
Dalliance.
That's better. And what I want is for you to loosen the fingers. Mm-hmm. Askew.
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 Yeah, so the part is the unaccented vowel. And we're going right to the skew part. So it's askew.
Askew.
That's better. Now, what I want is for you to do it easily. See, you're going askew. You feel a little tightness up in here. And what I want is just a rolling on. I'm going to take a breath. Askew. So the breath, it's askew. Try that. Just roll it out.
Askew.
Better. Do it now. As though it were just, as though you were doing a chiffon cloth as a part of a dance, like you were just rolling it out. Askew.
Askew.
That's the idea. Don't act it, just let it roll. There's a difference. Doing this, askew, is really trying to get it to be like a chiffon scarf. But askew has nothing, no effort in it. Uh-huh. Give me no effort.
Askew.
Good. Devour, is that devour, this next one? Devour. Yeah, ow, right? Devour. Do that, devour.
Devour.
Yeah, and let's get that ow to be A-H, devour.
Devour.
All right, let's say devour.
Devour.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Again, deva.
Deva.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Deva.
Deva.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Now I'm going to smooth them together. Deva.
Deva.
Again, Devau. Now I'm going to screw them even closer. Devau.
Devau.
Devour.
Devour.
Don't change the vowel when you add the R. Did you hear it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it doesn't become devau and then devour.
Right.
It's devour.
Devour. Devour.
Devour. Devour.
Devour.
Separate them. Devour.
Devour.
Again. Devour.
Devour.
Now go devour.
Devour.
That's what I want. Devour.
Devour.
Don't change the vowel.
Devour.
That's what I want. So you're going to do this for homework too, okay? Then I want devour.
Excuse me.
You almost had it though. Devour.
Devour.
Yes, that's the sound, my dear. You get it? You didn't go ow, you went ah. But because you connected to the oo, and when you connect it nicely, it doesn't sound phony. It doesn't sound British. It doesn't sound anything. It's just what you did was you kept the right shape.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay? So once you learn to do that, then you learn to say the word devour. Did you feel it? That doesn't sound fake, does it?
No.
Or affected in any way. But what I've actually said is, ah, ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of ow, ooh. I didn't flatten it. The ah has a nice lift like this to it.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, it's nice. It moves. The shape is nice. So think of these as honest shapes. Gloomy.
Gloomy.
That's it. Now let's let that ooh. Did you notice it took about three counts? Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Let take four counts with it. Just on the ooh alone. And just sort of see it glide.
Gloomy.
Yes, and just do the ooh.
Gloomy.
Ooh.
Okay. Yeah. Only ooh.
Only
no
ooh.
Glue.
I get it.
Ooh.
Yes, don't let your ooh start here. You know the patterns that we've been working on.
Mm-hmm.
Let the ooh start in the little dip in the tongue. Ooh.
Ooh.
All right, now go. Ooh.
Ooh.
Let the ooh take its course. It has a certain path it's going. Let it go. All right.
Ooh.
Yeah, it did it pretty much on its own. Listen to mine. And it's going to do whatever it wishes. Ooh. It just sort of went, ooh, I'm not really doing that. Can you tell?
Mm-hmm.
One, I think it's because I've let go of the ooh sound. It's touching my tongue on the bottom, but the top of it is by itself. Ooh. See, I'm not going, ooh, hear it?
Mm-hmm.
When I do ooh, I'm pressing down on it. It has nowhere to go.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Try it.
Ooh.
Did that do it by itself?
I think so.
Well, that's pretty good.
Okay. Like a ghost.
Now, yes. Now, if you now think of gloom, think of fog and mist, and just say gloom.
Gloom.
Right, see how many techniques are involved. Yours goes into the throat because we don't know those patterns well enough. So when you do it, if it goes into the throat, it has no way out. It gets trapped in the body.
Mm-hmm.
But when mine is in the front part of the face, it really moves its way out. It glooms its way out
mm-hmm.
of my mouth, and it really lives in space.
Gloom.
Something like that. Now say gloomy.
Gloomy.
All right. That's good as an exercise. Then one day you won't have to do gloom. See? One day you will say, you walked along the gloomy streets. Or just, my body will feel the word gloomy. My imagination will feel what that word means, and it will come out gloomy. And it will sound gloomy.
Mm-hmm.
Aroma.
Aroma.
all right? And don't work on them too hard. So it's a row, the emphasis is on a row, right? Go right to it and let the others just be there. Aroma.
Aroma.
Oh, aroma. No, it's a row, aroma. Veiled, that's a real diphthong. And if you get at that, do you feel how veiled the sound sounds? So it's ve-ir. Say ve-ir.
Ve-ir.
All right, now let's smooth it together. Ve-ir.
Ve-ir.
Veiled.
Veiled.
Good. Now think of something veiled and say the word.
Veil.
Yes, that's proper as an exercise. But now remove yourself from the exercise and give me magic.
Veil.
Good. You feeling it?
Yeah.
Let's say a sentence. The woman walked down the gloomy street, veiled in sorrow.
The woman walked down the gloomy street, veiled in sorrow.
Do that again so that you feel that you're elongating the ooh in gloomy and the and diphthong in veiled. And then I'm going to ask you to do it mysteriously. Breathe, dear.
The woman walked down
the gloomy
street.
Did you breathe just then? I don't think you did. Take it. Let me see a real breath.
The woman walked down the gloomy street, veiled in sorrow.
Good. Now, can you sort of move through that? Take a walk. Get up. Walk around. Take your breaths. And when the breath comes in, I'd like you to think the sentence, but just go shh. And sort of move around so the breath is moving in the body. Did you think the sentence?
Mm-hmm.
Now take the breath and say the sentence.
The woman walked down the gloomy street, veiled in sorrow.
Yes, you're getting it. You're getting it. See, your own imagination, plus the ability to let a word take its true shape, gives then the dramatic value in that sentence. Does that make sense to you? Yeah. Uh-huh. So play with it, and now I'd like you to extend it, to exaggerate it. Be of the 1890s, and let me hear the woman. No, it's a fallen woman. Why don't you go the fallen woman? No. Walk down the gloomy street, veiled in sorrow. And something.
The fallen woman walked down the gloomy street, veiled in sorrow.
Yeah. And now, I'm not getting. I want it to be you. You be the fallen woman. Okay? So what you're doing now is you're doing the exercise well, and you're being a good student. But I'd like you to move away from the analytical part that we were doing and really move into the acting part. I don't care that I'm the teacher. So take it over. Be the master of the exercise. Teach me how to say that sentence. Good. Do whatever you have to do to move into that. Act now, is what I'm saying.
The fallen woman walked down the gloomy street, veiled in sorrow.
Yeah. Are you still sort of acting? You're still sort of child acting it. You sound like a child. The fallen woman. Do you believe in fallen women? I mean, you know,
sure
can,
I do.
Yeah, you're one yourself.
Wuthering Heights is my favorite book.
That's what I want. Exactly. So what it was inside your mind, of course, how that sentence lives inside your mind is what I want to come out. So why don't you silently... perhaps you can sit. You can sit on that chair now. Sit and let the sentence move in your mind. And then if you want to add words, you can. You can say, oh, Jane, or oh, Emily, you know, or whatever. but let the sentence move in your mind and let it take on in your mind all the richness that sentence has. You know, think Wuthering Heights. And then I'd like you to say it just with your lips, but no sound, because I don't want you to break it. And then little by little, it's going to come out of the mouth. Okay? Do it now. Really, really think it. And use your lips. And then I'd like you to hum for a little while. Mm-hmm. Think the sentence now. And then without breaking it, as though it was straight from the brain, just let it pass over your lips with some sound. That is what I am talking about, my dear. Do you get it? Did you feel it? Did you see how magical it was? I just dropped the paper. Did you see how magical, how veiled your own voice was when you did it? So what you've been doing is you've been separating yourself from the sentence. You didn't make it art. You didn't make it a little work of charity. Right? What you did was you stayed as though it were an acting exercise. No, stay with it. This is a whole play in that one sentence. See it. As soon as you begin to feel it, then with a breath, let it pass over your lips. Nothing changes. There isn't a break in the imagination. There isn't a separation. Look, my imagination is seeing it. My words take it on. The fallen woman. That's the idea. Now I'd like you to stand up and be able to do that. So think it first. Get to the middle of the floor. That's performance, in the middle of a row.
The woman walked down the gloomy street, veiled in sorrow.
Laura, dear, do you see how good that is? Do you feel how...
I'm almost about to cry.
Yes! Exactly, so sit. Look, we won't touch the words anymore for a moment. This is what you do in your work. You have a funny little throwback to the time when you were a little girl.
Right? Last year.
And sometimes, when you act, you disconnect from your real woman's imagination and your the writer in you, the imagination of the artist in you. You disconnect from that as a kind of a habitual thing. When you disconnect, when there's a separation, and you kind of like it's sort of your private life, and then you bring the student to a sentence or to a play that you're doing, what you do is you it has no connection to what you really feel. Right? It has no connection to how you see it in your imagination. And we caught you in the act just now, and what I want to do is always to catch you in the act. What happened was you went dutifully, as a good student, you went, the woman walked down the gloomy street, veiled in sorrow. But you didn't really move it into the imagination. You didn't really let your body, your body suffer what it was that your imagination was seeing, right? So. And when you don't do that, then you cannot say the sentence. The sentence will come out in an academic fashion, or bad. You will sound like a bad actress, or you will sound as though you're obedient, or whatever. So it's only when you see it up in here, the body suffers what you see. Because you said you felt like crying. That's a body thing, right? Mm-hmm. Then the words are connected to that, and you say, the woman walked down the gloomy street veiled. See, it cannot help be right, but be right. Because everything is supporting that image, all right? Every time you act, you must be in the habit of supporting what you say by seeing it and by feeling it. Now, that, when you're first doing it, is very ponderous, you know. I mean, look at the time we had to take to do the our poor fallen woman. You get to the point where these things happen so quickly with you. I mean, when I do them, they happen almost simultaneously with me. I just apparently trained myself enough so that my body, my gesture, my body, my thought, and my words all mean the same thing. I don't separate from them. Mm-hmm. Okay? But to do that, to get into that habit, you have to kind of go at it slowly and make sure that everything is connected up. And in time, was it in time? Did you feel that? I'm really thinking, when I said that, could you feel that I meant some length, some spread of time? I didn't say in time. In time, like I don't know when. See, so you could feel it in the word. I don't know when. All of this will be so habitual that you will always see what you say and feel what you say. See, many times we separate from the words. We put acting out here and us here. And nobody believes it, nor do we. Because it's out there, it has nothing to do with us. So what you have to do is move acting back into yourself, your body, your breath, your imagination. When it's there, it cannot go wrong. It can't. Good? Okay, so that's really what the lesson is today. Tell me what I mean. Can you tell that back to me? Can you give me instances when you know that you've separated from?
Well, I usually separate. I don't feel that I express, that I use my voice to my advantage in acting in any way, or not even telling a story. Sometimes if I'm sitting around with my friends and I want to tell them something that happened to me yesterday, I either lose interest or my attention span isn't there.
Very true.
So
yeah.
I just forget it halfway through. I just give up. And sometimes if I'm reading something in narrative, for some reason I can't get behind it.
Yeah.
And if I'm reading something, like when I read Estelle, it's easier for me to always be right with it, because it's hard not to be for me in that part, because it's so, I can understand it so clearly what it would be like to be that person.
Yes.
But saying something like, he walked down the street with his backpack on his back or something like that, it's hard to get behind that for me.
Yes, yes. And so, see, in acting, you not only have the thrilling, dramatic speeches of Estelle, you also have he walked down the street in his backpack.
Mm-hmm.
So you have those words. So that's why the acting sometimes is lopsided with you, because when it comes to sentences like that, you just disconnect. So I certainly wouldn't, you know, when we take a sentence like he walked down the street with his backpack, there, what the sentence is just feeling the words. The W, he walked down the strip with his backpack.
Mm-hmm.
See, those sounds connect to my body. So what they're doing is the breath comes from my body. The body is involved in he walked down the street with it. So what you're doing is vibrating.
Mm-hmm.
See, when you say he walked down the street with his backpack, can you feel the vibrations there? Vibrations equals energy, see? So that energy equals life. Right? So that you don't have to have dramatic life,
mm-hmm.
You don't have to have sorrowful life or humorous life, you can just have life. Right? So that sentence is life. He walked down the back with his, walked down the street with his backpack. See? Then he saw the giant coming towards him. And the giant said, fee-fi-fo-fum. Do you see how... But if you disconnect in that one sentence, he walked down the street. He walked down the street in his backpack. See, it's disconnected. Then he saw the giant come. Can't do it. The throat will get involved. The body will start to try too hard to then become the giant and then move into the drama. See? But if you are always connected with what you do, then it allows you to move into the drama or to move into the humor, or it allows you to be neutral with vibrations. Okay? So that's what we're interested in.
Neutral with vibrations is my worst part.
That's right. That's right, because when you think neutral, you think nothing.
I just go away from it.
Exactly. You start.
And it has to do with the grammar, too. If it's in the first person, I feel much more secure with it. Like if it's me trying to be a character, that forces me into it more than if I'm talking about he or she or it. If I'm trying to tell something in narrative, it's really difficult for me.
I know what you're saying. I used to say that I didn't like he and she plays, you know, where the author said he... He said, you know, the characters were called he and she because they were possibly plays of metaphor or idea, and those got me nervous. See, it's actually, this is an actor's instinct. I mean, we really do learn to relate to the characterization. Mm-hmm. That's really what turns us on. But that's only half of it, really. There is much more involved in acting than just characterization. I think what I was saying to somebody about music, or when I was telling him to make those, the charity, to make those exercises, to make his little acting exercises complete little works of art, as a dancer does, a pattern of steps, or the musician plays the charity, a pattern of scales, right? The actor also should be able to play a pattern of sentences without necessarily having them be Estelle, blonde hair, blue eyes. That's something we do in plays. We add those qualities onto the pattern. But you must be able to see the pattern because the pattern is the structure. Mm-hmm. Okay? So it's very exciting to act with structure, abstract pattern, meaning metaphor, plus particularization, characterization. So now I want you to learn to begin to believe in he, she sentences. Mm-hmm. And let's really work on those, because I know you could do the other acting. I mean, you're terrific as Estelle. We said that you could do an audition as Estelle, didn't we? Mm-hmm. See, it's that other stuff that is really making everything else you do bland. See, and it will even make the Estelle part bland. See, because everything influences everything else.
Plus, I don't have the full use of my voice yet. I still can't really speak in the front part,
and with vibrations. You know, you really don't. It's not a woman's voice yet. Okay, that's all for today. So you'll blah blah, you'll breathe, you'll do those words, and you'll think a lot about what I told you about the patterns. And would you write something about that for me and bring it in?
Okay.
All right, good. Okay. Swell.